Luca. That was hard to watch.
You, coming?
We do not go anywhere near the surface.
Got it?
Everything good is above the surface. Walking.
Air.
The sky, clouds, the sun. Whoa, don't look at it. Just kidding. Definitely look at it.
Have you ever gone to the human town?
Yeah. I'm kind of an expert. Today.
Hey, leave them alone. Hop on.
Go start the club for losers.
My name is Julia Macabando. We underdogs have to look out for each other.
What's under the dogs?
This is my dad.
Why do you think he kills with those?
Anything that swims.
Your life is so much cooler than mine.
A million things you think you can't do. All you need is a chance to try.
Something fishy would you do?
It's too dangerous. Lucius!
I know your problem. You got a Bruno in your head.
A Bruno?
Say, silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Louder. Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Can you still hear him?
No. Just you!
Good! Now hang on!
What's wrong with you, stupido?
You do it now. Just say the thing.
What's wrong with you, stupido?
Well, Disney Pixar does it again. Hey, Luca is a great coming-of-age story about the importance of friendship and family. How many of you have seen the film? Okay, a lot of you have. I was afraid, you know, usually I ask that question, it's just about half, and I don't want to ruin the movie when it's this new, so since some of you still haven't seen the movie, I'm not going to spoil the ending for you today. All the clips that I'm going to show you are from the first half of the movie. But trust me, some of the most moving, some of the most powerful scenes come from the very end of the film, so you really want to watch it if you haven't watched it. But I don't want to ruin the ending for you today, so I'm not going to even show you the scene where Luca dies. So I'm getting feedback from this right now. So, all right. Like many Disney Pixar animated movies, this story manages to deal with some pretty significant themes from life. But in a way that's light enough for audiences of all ages to process it. And there were several, not just life themes, but I think biblical themes in this movie that we could talk about this morning. Themes like learning to deal with adversity, themes like justice, themes like adoption, themes like how we treat foreigners and refugees, things like the wonder of God's creation. Many, many powerful themes and ideas about life that the Bible addresses are found in this film. But this morning, I just want to talk about two themes that are prominent in Scripture, and these are biblical themes that also bring with them a real sense of tension, a real sense of tension. Do you know what I mean by tension? The Bible certainly has tension. In the midst of some of its most important teachings, you find this tension. It kind of makes you like it sort of can give you the same anxiety I was talking about when we were trying to look at the app for the first time. The Bible has teachings that bring about tension. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul teaches the church that we are saved by God's grace through faith and that it's not by our own works. There's absolutely nothing that we can do to save ourselves through our own good works. It's all the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that makes our salvation possible, right? Right. And then he turns around in Philippians chapter 2 and he says, tells believers to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then you're like, wait, what? I thought this was all on God. And it's like, yeah, it is. And you better work it out with fear and trembling. And so there's this tension. And theologians have wrestled with these tensions that you find in Scripture for centuries. And the way that we go about figuring out the answer to these tensions and seeing how these things reconcile themselves is by looking at the bigger picture of Scripture, and especially, I think, at the teachings of Jesus. By the way, I feel like Jesus was called the Word, the Logos, by John in John chapter 1. And I believe that as you read the Bible, if you're reading something and you're like, I don't really know what this means or how this plays out, always read all the written word through the filter of the living word, Jesus Christ. And I think that you'll have a little bit easier time. And that's what theologians have done. So today I want to look at two such biblical themes that are filled with tension that are found in the movie Luca. And I want to see if you can identify these tensions for yourself. Okay? So we're going to explore the first one together. Luca, he is a sea monster who spends most of his time tending his family's flock of fish. All right, and so if you think back to the biblical story, just like young King David, before he ever became king, he was a shepherd who tended his family's sheep. So too, Luca is a shepherd, or actually a fisher. He's a good kid. He works hard. He loves his parents. He cares for his fish by keeping them safe from the land monsters who occasionally pass overhead on the surface in their boats. And Luca, he has a healthy fear of these mysterious land monster creatures, but he's also got a healthy sense of curiosity about the land monsters and about everything that goes on above the surface. So let's go ahead and watch our first clip together, and remember to watch for the first of our two tensions in this clip.
You're 2 minutes late. Was there a boat? Did you hide?
Yes, Mom.
Because if they catch even a glimpse of you, you think they come around to meet new friends?
No.
Make small talk.
I don't.
No, they're here to do murders. So I'm just making sure you know.
Thanks, Mom.
When I was a kid, we'd go weeks without seeing a boat. And let me tell you, they did not have motors. Just a sweaty land monster with a paddle.
Hi, Grandma.
Hey, Bubble.
Hi, Dad.
Look at Pinchy Pesa. She's molting. Oh, it's magnificent. Now, here's a champion show crab if I ever saw one.
Oh, nice.
Oh, don't look her in the eye.
Sorry.
But don't apologize. She can sense weakness.
Oh! Honey, Luca. Come on, we better beat those Branzinos at the crab show this year. Everyone thinks Bianca Branzino's so great with her prize-winning crabs and amazing dolphin impression. Please, anyone can do that. Right?
I don't know why dolphins even sound like that. You know, why don't they just talk?
Luca, what's on your mind?
I was just wondering, where do boats come from?
The land monster town, just above the surface. I beat a guy at cards there once.
Mom, what are you doing?
He's old enough to hear about it.
He's been to the surface and done the change?
No, the end, shut it down.
I was just curious.
Yeah, well, the curious fish gets caught. We do not talk, think, discuss, contemplate, or go anywhere near the surface. Got it?
Yes, Mom.
Here, now let's get back to work. Hey. Look me in the eye. You know I love you, right?
I know, Mom.
We're a little worried about him, right?
No, thanks. I'm full.
So, do you think you have an idea about what the first life issue is with the tension? Anybody got a guess? I have.
Surface.
What's that?
Going above the surface.
Okay, well, there's tension going above the surface, yep. But there's something there. There's a relationship going on. What's the relationship in this scene? Yes, and from who?
From Mom.
From Mom and Dad, yeah. So the first tension is the tension of many tensions found in the parent-child relationship, right? And Scripture highlights this tension. How many of you in here are parents? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you in here were children? It's unanimous. Actually, one person didn't raise their hand, and I saw that. So I'm a little curious now. Here's what I want to talk about this a little bit. And if you're like, well, another parenting sermon, my kids are all out of the house. Just bear with me. It's all going to work together. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And I want to talk about this scripture just for a minute. It starts out, Paul is giving instruction to children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So basically what Paul is saying, number one, is as you obey your parents, it's as if you are obeying the Lord. That's a good thing. So obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. And then he quotes from Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. He says, honor your father and mother, which, by the way, is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, I thought this was interesting as I read it because, pastors and preachers, we get a little bit of critical of other pastors and preachers. And I got a little bit critical of the Apostle Paul here. Can you imagine that? Like the audacity of me being critical of Paul? I think that's pretty fun. I just thought that was funny to me. Maybe not to you. And here's why. Because Paul kind of like, he doesn't really take this verse out of context, but he doesn't really take the time to put it back into context for us. He just says, honor your mother and father, which, by the way, is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And it makes you believe that, okay, if I'm a kid and I enjoy my parents, I will live a long time. Well, there's no guarantee of that, but I can guarantee you if you're my kid and you don't obey me, there's a pretty good chance that you won't live a long life on earth. But here's the reason why Paul says this, is because when Moses was telling this to the people, God had given the people, the adults of Israel, the parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the members of the community, the people that should know best, he had given them his instruction for how to live in the promised land. And if they trusted God, it would go well for them. And so what he's telling them is, he's telling the children the same thing. Like, I want you to obey your parents because we've told them this is how you will live long and have a good life. Okay? And so, like, as you read that, just understand that's where that comes from. And it's pretty neat there. So children, obey your parents because this pleases God. It will go well with you. But then he turns to the parents. And I know, moms, you feel like you're off the hook here because he only addresses fathers. It's a patriarchal society, right? So I think we can read this as parents. Because I think if you watched that last clip and you watched Luca's mom, you could say, okay, maybe Luca's mom needs to hear, fathers and mothers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul also goes ahead and paraphrases himself in another letter to the church in Colossae. He says this. He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That's all right. It's all right. I don't even have to say anything because like it's on you. If your phone goes off, you're the one that's embarrassed. So here we go. Love you, Ted. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this pleases the Lord. And then he says, fathers, do not embitter your children. So okay, in case you were curious about exasperating them, well, he's making it a little simpler here. Don't embitter them, or they will become discouraged. And what happens when children are discouraged? They make bad choices. They become distant. So there's this tension here because God has set up an order in the family, in the home. Parents are in charge. So all the parents in the room get that? Because I know sometimes we get a little confused about that. Parents are in charge, but they're in charge under the authority of God, and they're supposed to do things God's way. And that's why if they do things God's way, the children should obey them. If they obey them, this is going to work out okay. But there's this tension that comes along because as the person that's the person of authority, we have to manage that authority well, and we have to navigate well all the things that come with the tension. We still have to teach our kids how to make good choices. All right, well, I'm going to talk more about that tension in just a few minutes, but I want to go ahead and try to identify our second area of tension. So let's go ahead and roll our next clip.
Do
here. No. I just came for my stuff. Ooh.
Oh, hey, wait, that's mine. Sir, you forgot your harpoon and...
Oh, yeah, thanks.
What? What are you doing?
First time?
Of course it is! I'm a good kid!
Hey, relax. Breathe. Isn't it great?
No, it's bad, and I'm not supposed to be up here. Good day. Thank you. Good day. Again.
All right, so I'll let you off the keys this time. So the second tension that I've think the Bible talks a lot about in this film is how we interact with friends, how we go about making friends with people, and like nurturing those friendships that we have. And so here's what we're going to find in the Bible. We're told that we need to guard our hearts. I believe that's what do we got going on there? Any idea? All right. Well, just keep going. We're told, I think it's Proverbs 4:20 or 4:23, talks about guarding your heart because all of life springs from your heart. And so the people, what I've always been told is the people that are closest to your heart should be people that believe like you believe. They shouldn't be people that believe differently than you do, or they might lead you astray. And at the same time, I've been told that, hey, we need to love everybody and we need to have intentional relationships with people who are far from the Lord. And so then as a kid, you grow up and you're hearing these things and it's kind of like, ooh, there's a tension there. Like, because some of the people that don't think like me, maybe if I'm supposed to befriend them and love them, then aren't I going to be tempted to think like they do? And so you got these two tensions. You got this tension, the tension that we find in the parent-child relationship. You got the tension that comes for, and I'm thinking specifically for us as believers, although we could just think in this story, it was just more about friends and who you choose to be your friends. And sometimes those two tensions come together and they form like a super tension, right? When the tension of trying to, the parent-child relationship comes together with the tension that we find in choosing friends. And so we're going to play one more clip and then we'll see how these tensions come together.
Alberto Scorfano.
Luca Panduro.
Piacere.
Girolamo Trombetta.
It's a human thing. I'm kind of an expert.
What does it mean? The thing you just said?
Come on, I'll show you some more stuff.
Mother of Pearl. You live up here?
Yeah, me and my dad. He's not even here a whole lot, so I pretty much just do whatever I want.
Isn't it dangerous?
Yeah, it's the best. Everything good is above the surface.
Like, what else?
Air! Gravity, also known as falling!
The sky, clouds, the sun.
Whoa, don't look at it.
Just kidding.
Definitely look at it. And then, there's human stuff. As you can see, I've been collecting for a long time, so ask me anything.
Whoa.
Ah, yes, that's the magic singing lady machine. It's broken, unfortunately. Whoa! You unbroke it!
What's that?
Oh, it's just the greatest thing that humans ever made. The Vespa.
Whoa!
You just sit on it, and it takes you anywhere you want to go. In the whole stinking world.
Vespa is freedom.
Yeah. cool, right?
Yeah. Huh. Are you gonna make one? I think you have all the parts.
I do have the parts. I am gonna make one. You wanna help?
Me? Yeah. Wait, no, I can't. I gotta go home.
Right this second?
Yeah, if my parents found out I was up here, oof, it would be bad. So thank you, but goodbye. Forever. Okay, but now I really do have to go.
Okay, bye.
Seriously, I have to go like now, like right now.
Okay, see ya.
It's even better than the picture.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, gotta run.
See you tomorrow.
I really hope I didn't do these clips out of order. All right, so Proverbs. Oh, let me start a different way. I'll tell you a little story. Not so long ago, one of my children was asking for a particular thing for a gift. They were asking for Apple, what do they call it, AirPods? Like, I could always want to call them earpods, but whatever. And how many of you know what those are? How many of you know that they're very expensive? How many of you know that your kids tend to lose things? Right, so speaking of tension, it's just like, oh, yeah, I know you want this for a gift, but I'm not going to give you a gift that costs that much money that you're going to turn around and lose, because then what's going to happen is you're going to be out of gift, and I'm going to be very angry. And so here's the funny thing about gifts. Sometimes when you get a gift, it's not that great, and you're just like, thank you, and you're pretending. Sometimes when you get a gift, it's really, really great, and it's very nice, and you're very grateful, but it's very expensive, and you're like, oh, man, I got to take really, really good care of this gift. Well, Psalm 127 tells parents that children are a gift from the Lord. And they are, if you've ever been a parent, that you know that they are the most precious gift you've ever been given. And if you were one of my children, you're probably right now saying, see, I'm so precious. And this incredibly precious gift that you've been given is given to you, but you need to steward it well and you need to take care of it well. And that's tricky. So Proverbs, which is a book that's just filled with great advice for us as parents, as friends, just as general people, says this, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, what? He won't depart from it. Right. So again, this is these powerful precepts that tell us, hey, generally this is the way this is going to work. But training up a child is not an easy thing. And I think for some Christian parents, we have this idea that, okay, to train up my child correctly means I have to take my kids to church. I have to make sure that they listen to Christian radio. I need to make sure they watch Christian entertainment. I need to make sure that they're homeschooled. I need to make sure that they don't have any unchristian friends. I've got 18 years in my home to like make sure that these children grow up to be a well-rounded, well-thinking adult who can make good choices, right? Because that's the goal, for us to have children who become responsible adults, who make good choices. And for Christian parents, the goal is for our kids that also love Jesus, right? Okay, now, I'm not busting on any of those other things that I just mentioned, but none of those things that I mentioned are a guarantee that your kids are going to turn out okay. In fact, with each of those things, you have to, every time that you bring an element in, you have to think about how is this going to work. So with Christian entertainment, there's some great Christian entertainment, but if you plop your kids in front of a VeggieTales video, or if you just let them watch Christian movies, that doesn't negate your responsibility as a parent to talk to you about the themes in that entertainment and to help them understand it. And still, even with Christian entertainment, to help them wrestle with what's true and what's not true. What are the messages that I'm hearing in this? Because so often, or for instance, when you bring your kids to church on Sunday morning, it's your responsibility to train up your children. It's our responsibility as a church to come alongside you in that process, to encourage you, to equip you, if we can, for that process of discipling your children, and then to engage with you in that process. But it's your job first, and we are here to help you in that. So if you just drop your kids off at a church somewhere and you're like, well, I did my part, no, like you really didn't. This is why training up our children is such an important but difficult task, because we have to stay engaged no matter what avenues we choose to direct this process. We have to stay engaged with it. And when I was a child, my parents went about this task of training up 5 different children, plus a few foster kids. And I thought my parents, when I was younger, were the smartest people in the world. I mean, you remember thinking that your parents were the smartest people in the world. Okay, the teens aren't raising their hand. That's just because you can't remember when you were that little. But trust me, you did. You thought your mom, well, you launched the Miss America pageant. You're like, why aren't you on there? You're prettier than all these ladies. And you thought your dad was like the strongest guy in the world. And they were just like, they were the smartest people ever. Right. And then you become teenagers and you're like, what happened to you? You're out of shape. And you've forgotten everything that you once knew. You have no more wisdom to offer me. And that's what happened in my life. By the time I was a teenager, my parents just was like, you guys don't understand real life at all. You don't know how this works. How long have you been out of the game? And but a funny thing happened. About 22 years old, my parents started getting really smart again. Isn't that weird how that works? Like, it's just those teenage years. Our parents, they just kind of lose it during the teenage years. It's their second adolescent. No, the reality is they didn't get any dumber. We just thought we were a whole lot smarter. And as we get older, we realize, yeah, there are some things that our parents get wrong from time to time. And maybe there's things that you figured out before your parents did, and that's okay. But for the most part, our parents, because of their life experience, and especially if you had good parents because they cared about you and they invested in you, they had a lot of wisdom to offer. And again, the Bible talks about this. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck." Well, sometimes my parents' teachings felt a lot like a chain to me, but not the kind that they're talking about here. This is jewelry. This is something that brings honor. This is something of value that makes you look good and makes you wise. And this is really a great thing to remember for those of you in this room that are under the age of 20. Like, remember, like, you, listen to your father's instruction. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. They have wisdom to impart on you. And when you wear their wisdom, it will eventually be like a garland to grace your head. It will be like a chain to adorn your neck. It will be something, I guarantee you this, like if you listen to your parents and you actually just like give them a little, the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And then when you're engaging with your teenage friends and somebody says, hey, we should do this thing. And you say, we shouldn't do this thing. And then some of your other friends do that thing and they get in trouble for that thing. Then your friends that didn't do that thing because you didn't do that thing will be like, that was really wise of you not to do that thing. And it will all be because you wore your parents' wisdom. Okay, you guys tracking with me? There's a lot of things going on there. I get it. So here's the thing about parents and children. We want our children to grow up to be wise adults who can make good choices. But what has to happen in that process then is our kids have to be allowed to make some choices. And so as parents, we have to, as our kids grow, we have to like discern what are the wrong decisions we're going to allow them to make so they can learn. What are the areas where we're going to say they might get hurt if they do this, where we're going to say, okay, risk, reward. Okay, I don't think they're going to get killed. I don't think they're going to break any bones. Yeah, they might get shocked if they grab that fence, but I'm going to let them learn this lesson, right? You know what I'm talking about? We've got to let our kids make some choices in order to be people who know how to make wise choices. And so parenting is not an easy thing because your kids are going to want to make every choice. And there's this tension here. But as parents, a wise parent will trust in God. And the greatest thing that I think that I can share with you this, and we'll share this every time we talk about parenting, is this. Your child's transformation, your child's spiritual transformation is not entirely your job. I mean, you're the one that guides that process, but the person that brings that transformation to fruition is God. And you got to trust in him. And this always brings me back to John 15. And the reason it brings me back to John 15 is because Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, I will produce much fruit in you. And the reality is God wants to produce fruit in your life. And the fruit of the gospel is the most important fruit. And the person in your life that you want to know Christ and to follow him more than anything is probably your children. And so what you need to do to make sure that happens is, yes, you can do all those other things if you do them well, but the most important thing that you can do is to follow Christ for yourself. Because that's how God's going to transform you. And every good teacher knows that more is caught than taught. And your kids are watching you, and they're going to see the decisions that you make. And they're going to see how you trust. If I tell my kids, you just need to obey God's word, and then they watch me, and they're like, true confession. I'm really, and you can pray for me in this church, I am really trying not to ever text when I drive. And some of you are judging me really hard right now, and I get it. It's okay. I deserve it a little bit. But some of you do it, so don't judge me if you do it too. And the reason why you do it is because we didn't grow up with these things, and we know how dangerous it is. You think about your kid texting and driving, you're like, they're going to kill themselves. But you are so much more skilled than they are. You have so much more dexterity and so much more mental capacity and clearness, right? No, you don't, and neither do I. And so, like my kids, I can't even pretend anymore. I just beg them, please don't use your cell phone when you're on the phone, and pray for me that I won't ever do it anymore either. And I'm trying. You can pray for me. I get it. It's terrible. I make light of it a little bit, but it's just one of those things that I'm trying to figure out how to not do and how to trust God and not trust in myself. Okay, so you got that tension going on in the movie. I forgot a clip, so we're going to just play it, and I'll
this might. You got to ride together. If you don't sit on the back and hold on to the front, the whole thing falls apart.
Oh, and who's holding the lamp?
The turtle. Come on, he's faster than he looks.
Okay, here we go.
You coming?
Nope, I can't do it. Never in a million years.
Hey, I know your problem. You got a Bruno in your head.
A Bruno?
Yeah, I get one too sometimes. Alberto, you can't. Alberto, you're gonna die. Alberto, don't put that in your mouth. Luca, it's simple. Don't listen to stupid Bruno.
Why is his name Bruno?
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Call him whatever you want. Shut him up. Say, Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno. Loud.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
Can you still hear it?
Nope. Just you.
Good. Now hang on. Andiamo!
Proverbs, I'm going to go with Proverbs 13:20 today. Proverbs 13:20 says this: whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. All right. Yeah. You still got your parent thinking cap on, and you're like, yeah, okay. So you watch this scene where Luca is hanging out with his new friend Alberto, and as a parent, you're like, yeah, that kid's going to get him hurt. That kid's going to get him into a lot of trouble. But I want you to take off your parenting hat. Now I want you to switch your gears to just your relational hat and your friends and the people that you have that are important in your life. And this is where this becomes important for us. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, but Matt, I'm already friends with some of these people and I can't just dump them because they're foolish. Right? Okay, I get it. You're right. And here's what we need to remember about friendship. In every friendship, you are attracted to people. The people that are your friends are generally friends because there was something about them that attracted you to them. They had certain qualities about who they were, unless you're just really shallow, and then maybe they had a lot of money. But for most of us, there's personalities, there's qualities that we're attracted to in other people. And then when we become friends with them, what that means is there were things about us that attracted us to them. And so it kind of works both ways. But in every relationship, you have a responsibility to be the best friend. Even if it's not your best friend, your responsibility is to be the best friend. Your responsibility is to be the influencer in all good things. And if you know right now that a companion of fools will suffer harm, and you're thinking about some of your friends, and you're like, yeah, I get them in a lot of trouble. Okay, well, you need to change because you're the fool. Okay, so I'm speaking to us as if we were the wise ones. Right now. So as we think about the people in our life that we let close to our heart, are we letting people close to our heart who think differently than we do, who as we let them influence us are going to steer us in a direction that maybe is going to move us further and further away from Christ, further and further away from God's wisdom? It's very important for us as adults, as teens, to think about. And it And really, this is kind of a life skill. This isn't just with our relationships, but you start to think about everything that we let come into our life. And what is what's the effect? What's the impact that this is having on me? Is it helping me grow closer to Christ, or is it moving me further away? Again, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. So, as we think about the movie, Alberto, maybe he wasn't the greatest influence, but we find out that his dad is not only not around much, his dad hasn't been around for a long, long time. He's basically an orphan. He's basically been abandoned. He's trying to make a good impression on Luca because he really needs friendship. He really needs companionship. And Luca's a really good kid, and he wants to obey his parents, but he's also a kid. And so let's give him some credit for that. But there's other things that we discover in this movie where we see how Proverbs 27:17 is played out in the relationship. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And church, if we determine that in our relationships, we're going to be the best friend, we're going to be the person that we're going to be the true north for our friends, we're going to be the person that points towards Christ, then we have the opportunity to sharpen other people. A lot of us have this desire inside, I want to do something good in my life. I want to have a ministry. I want to do something that matters. Do you have friends? Do you have relationships? Be the iron that makes the other iron sharper. It's an incredibly important ministry. We can't look at the everyday things in our life and think that they're not important because they're just mundane everyday things. No, those are the most important things, and they generally make the biggest difference. Are you guys okay if we go to like quarter after today?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then let's watch this clip just because I like it so much. And then it'll bring the parent thing back in again. I did do this out of order. Sorry. Is it Ugo? The Ugo clip.
Wow.
No, not this one.
Mm.
Did I? This one. There we go.
Really need to go through with this.
With what?
Son, you're in big trouble. You need to promise us that you'll never sneak off to the surface again.
I'm really sorry, but you know, it's not that dangerous up there. Maybe I could show you.
I told you, our son has a death wish.
But Mom, we're always careful.
We?
Me and my friend, Alberto. But it's okay. He's one of us.
Ah, yes. That's usually a bad influence. Good thing you sent for me when you did.
Yeah? Luca, this is my brother, your Uncle Hugo.
Thanks again for coming all this way on such short notice.
Of course. Hello, Luca. It's very nice to meet you.
Luca, I need you to punch his heart. That's right, the red thing. Punch it harder.
Thanks for that. Too much oxygen up here. Not like the deep, as you'll learn.
What?
Sure, there's no sunlight, but there's nothing to see anyway. Although, it's just you and your thoughts. And all the whale carcass you can eat. Little bits of it just float into your mouth. You can't stop it. You can't see it. So if you... the mouth open, the whale carcass go in. Yes, good. I recommend it. Come on, no time to waste.
Mom, what does he mean?
You're going to stay with Uncle Ugo for the rest of the season.
No, I can't.
Two seasons then. Want to go for three?
Why are you doing this?
The world is a very dangerous place, Luca. And if I have to send you to the bottom of the ocean to keep you safe, so be it.
You don't know what it's like up there.
I know you, and I know what's best for you. It's done. Hey, look me in the eye. You know I love you, right?
The gelato.
Wow. Mmm.
and go where?
Oh, it's Senor Vespa.
Mannaggia, here we go.
Buongiorno tutti.
Oh, mamma mia, please, no more.
Che puzza, Ercole.
Ciao, ciao.
To watch me eat a big sandwich.
Oh, there it is. That's how we're gonna see the world.
Hey, little help.
E basta!
Oh, oh,
oh, oh, mamma mia. Talk to Ercole. Are you hurt?
Well, my head.
Not you, Ciccio. Out of the way. Oh, piccolina, if there is so much as a scratch.
Oh. Someone got lucky today.
Hmm? Who got lucky? Mm-hmm. Out of towners, eh? Let me welcome you. Benvenuti a Porto Rosso. Ciccio, I'm delighted to meet you, number one. And number two, I love your stylish clothes. When did you get them?
A dead body.
Dead body. I'm kidding.
Look, Signor Vespa.
Signor Vespa. I am Ercole Visconti, five-time winner of the Porto Rosso Cup.
The Porto Rosso what?
The Porto Rosso Cup. Per mille sardine, how do you think I paid for my beautiful Vespa? Hey, stop looking. She's too beautiful for you.
I
love it. The little guy can even get a word out. Ooh. And it smells like behind the pizzeria.
Hey, my friend smells amazing.
Sorry, sorry. I'll make it up to him. Ciccio, Guido.
What are you doing?
Luca.
Alberto.
Ah, just a little bath.
Oh, no.
It's
fun. No.
Hey, Ercole, basta.
Oh, look who's here. Spiulia. Wow. That's how you're training for the race?
Certo. Your reign of terror is
coming to
an
end. You mean like a year ago, when you quit in the middle of the race because you couldn't stop throwing up?
I didn't quit. They made me stop.
I think that is worse. Now, go away. I'm having fun with my new friends.
They're coming with me. Hop on. I could use the extra weight.
Fine. Go start the club. For losers.
So, at first blush, Alberto seems like he might not be the greatest friend in the world for Luca. But it turns out he's pretty normal. And then you see a guy like Ercole, Scotty, and his friends. I don't remember what their names were. There's only so many names I can process. But the two guys that were following around Ercole. And it's like, wow, can you imagine having a friend like Ercole? So again, like just put the Proverbs into context here. Put them into practice in your life as you think about your relationships. And what we find out is that friendship is really, really important. And it's everybody has the opportunity to build into each other's lives. So I want to read, this comes from Ecclesiastes. And like the Apostle Paul, this is a little bit out of context. But it says this, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Actually, this comes from a lament, who's from the person that's writing this is lamenting the fact that they don't have a close friend. And they say this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Friendship matters, church. Community matters. And so we got one more clip, and then I'm going to just wrap us up. So let's go ahead and roll that clip.
Peter's eye, Giorgio Giorgioni, slayer of sea monsters, and beloved purveyor of pasta.
Slayer of sea monsters?
That's just Signora Marsigliese. She works for the sponsor for the race.
This is gonna take forever.
The finest pasta in Liguria at a price every family can afford.
Get to the rules.
Enthusiasm. Love to see it. To win my famous race, your team must be the first to brave the treacherous waters of the bay. Devour a mystery bowl of my delicious pasta and ride to the top of Mount Portorosso and back.
That all sounds pretty hard.
Yeah. Hard to lose. We're going to win.
Love your confidence. But don't forget, we're going to have to go
champion
through.
Champion coming through. Ciao, ciao, hey.
Ercole.
Aren't you a little old, Ercole?
Signora, I'm 16.
You said that last year.
But this year is true.
You might want to save your money, ragazzi.
This year, Ercole's going to break the record.
And make it 16 in a row.
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
Spurnia, you teamed up with this vagrant?
Ignore him.
Oh, I wish for you that you could. I'm afraid your friends still need to pay the out-of-town weirdo tax.
Hey, Ercole, you have to give it back.
Ercole doesn't have to do anything. He's the Porto Rosso Cup champion, number one. And number two, his life is amazing and everyone loves him.
They don't love you. They're afraid of you.
Raise your hand if you love me. See? Everyone, even you.
Oh, that's it. Come on, Luca.
Hey, the vagrants want to fight. Wow, che bello.
Alberto?
Silenzio, Bruno. Remember, this is for our Vespa.
Stop.
A Vespa? Trash like you can try it, Vespa.
Ercole, you're just afraid we are going to put an end to your evil empire,
of injustice. Got anything new?
Yeah, here's a new one. You look like a catfish. A catfish!
Huh? They're bottom feeders, and they also have two sad little whiskers.
Shut up! Listen, Piccoletto, I eat kids like you for breakfast. I dunk them in my chocolata. Yum! Filthy. So, here, sign up. I'll make it my mission to destroy you. It's gonna be some race, huh? Sorry, no autographs today. You can put your hand down.
Luca, bravo, we did it! Giulia Marcovaldo.
Ciao, Giulia, team of one.
Not today.
Luca Poguro.
Alberto Scorfano.
The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The last few times I've preached, I'm just like, man, I always feel like I get to the end of the message and we said some really good things and we talked about some really important stuff, but the application is just like, well what are we supposed to do with all this? And so sometimes I struggle to come up with that conclusion and that application. And I came up with an idea and I said, well, what if I just end with scripture for our conclusion? I can't possibly be wrong. And actually with this message, it's perfect for us. And so as we consider what it means to be the kind of people that will sharpen one another, I want you to focus this week on Hebrews 10:24, which says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Because we want to be the best friend in every situation, right? We want to be the people who bring the best out of each other. And that's really what we're called to do as God's image bearers, is to bring about flourishing in this world. And the place, again, just as I was saying before, where that flourishing is going to happen most naturally and most impactfully is with those that you are friends with, those that you're close with. Whether that's spurring one another as believers, as Christians, on to loving good deeds, or whether that's being an influence with those in your life who need to know Christ. This is what we are called to do as God's image bearers. We're going to stand together and end in song. So would you...